Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. How much voice should people have about a development proposed for their neighborhood? When a developer gets tax breaks or public funding towards a project, should the people living around that project get something? Those questions are at the heart of a pair of proposals on the ballot in Detroit, two competing community benefits ordinances, or CBOs. Proposal A came from a grassroots initiative led by neighborhood leaders and activists under the umbrella group Rise Together Detroit. And one of the leaders is here with us now. The Reverend Joan Ross is director of the North and Woodward Community Coalition. Good to have you back on Stateside.
Thank you, Cynthia. It is good to be back on Michigan Radio and with you, of course.
What launched this push for a community benefits agreement?
Well, it's really simple. Proposal A says if we have to pay, we should have a say. Vote yes on A and no on B. And that's at the heart of what you're saying. If residents have to pay for these things, then isn't it right that we just have a say, that we're at the table during these negotiations? Since we're the ones that are impacted and that really have to live with this long after the developers are gone home.
Was there any specific project or was it a cumulative effect of many projects?
It's actually been a cumulative effect. You know, we've been working on this for about 3 years now, and it really started around the M1 project when we found that community didn't have a voice in that project. Once it died and it was no longer a light rail project, it seemed that the whole emphasis shifted from community actually being involved at all. We have in the North End a stop for that station, but we don't have boarding in the North End. So that began the conversation with City Council, then Council Member Joanne Watson and Brenda Jones, around why can't community have a say when development comes into their area? Why are we the ones asked to pay, asked to sacrifice, but no say at all? So that's where this started. We went to council members, and they, in 2013, long before this council was seated, long before this mayor was elected, and they felt the need to bring an ordinance into Detroit around community benefits. That's where Proposal A started. What we have on the ballot now is a mirror of what we have been working on with council for 3 years.
That didn't get through.
It laid there, Cynthia, with no action by the council. And one of the very members who proposed Proposal B, Scott Benson, was a member of that committee that kept a stall on Proposal A.
So here we are, voters being asked to make a choice come Election Day. Under Proposal A, developers of a project with a public and or private investment of at least $15 million and with $300,000 in tax breaks would have to negotiate a legally binding community benefits agreement. With whom? Who would they be negotiating with?
They would negotiate with the host community, where that census tract for that development is. A group would be selected. And, you know, a side thing to that is we've been training folks for the past 3 years in how to negotiate. That was one of the objections, that community wasn't strong enough or able to negotiate. And we've actually undertaken training classes in negotiation skills for communities all around the city. So when that development comes in, that host community selects who that negotiation team would be. And the deal would be strictly between the developer and the host community. Proposal A is really all about development. It is an encouragement for development. In the proposal, there are outs, if you will. Should the community not be able to negotiate, should the community not be able to come together, then the developer can go back to the city council and say, this community is not functioning right. Okay. We want to move on with our project. So in the real sense, Proposal A is really pro-development. We want development to happen.
Does the ordinance block city officials and city council members from the community benefits agreements?
Well, actually, the city side, the city council and the mayor, have already worked out a development agreement with that developer. So they've already done the hard nuts and bolts negotiation. This is strictly about community issues with that
developer. Why would they not be at the table?
Well, that's
mayor
what we're asking. Well, because they've already done their part. Okay. And we find that in their agreements, they have what's called clawbacks. If a developer doesn't live up to their agreements, they can claw back. But in all the history of DEGC, we've never seen a clawback. We saw one clawback happen, but it was pullback. So they have never said to the developer, you haven't kept your promises, therefore we're going to take back our abatement. This ordinance, Proposal A, actually gives the community power to say, an enforceable agreement that you have not kept your promises to us. You got the money, but you didn't do what you said you were going to do. Therefore, we have recourse to go to court at our own cost.
What kinds of community benefits would the groups be asking for? And I'm getting the sense it depends on what group you're talking about and what neighborhood you're in. But give me an idea of the kinds of benefits.
Well, for instance, they could ask for housing to make sure that there wasn't displacement. They could ask for safety issues. Environmental issues would certainly be a very big one. We're not allowed to ask for jobs, but we can frame it so that we can encourage local businesses, small businesses within our communities to become involved in that development as well. So the major things are environmental issues, health issues, safety, and certainly housing and relocation. And for instance, there's recently an article in the Free Press about Midtown now trying to do a Stay Midtown program, which is a result of all the displacement that has happened in Midtown because of the development. Had there been a community benefit agreement in place, that would have happened along with the development. It wouldn't be a go back and fix this thing. It would be something that would be worked right into the development.
And legally binding.
And legally binding.
The negotiators from the neighborhood groups, critics will say, well, this means self-appointed unelected groups wind up deciding the fate of development projects and negotiating legally binding agreements.
Not really the fate of development projects. In the past years that Mayor Duggan has been in, there have been 55 development deals. Out of those 55 development deals, only 11 of them actually meet the guidelines of Proposal A. That is $15 million or greater with a public ask of $300,000. So actually, only 11 of those deals would have had community involvement, would have had community benefit agreements.
The rest are under that
threshold? The rest are under. And one is over. One is the $75 million that is actually proposed in Proposal B. That's only one agreement, or one deal out of those 55 deals. So only one time would community have been involved.
Because there are critics that feel that the dollar threshold is way too low for Proposal A and that it's going to have developers go, you know what, I'm not bothering, forget it.
Well, in the example I just gave you, in 55 deals, only 11 made the threshold of $15 million. So far more deals are under that don't really involve community benefit agreements. So I think that's a moot point right there, that only 11 in 55. Come on, what are we really talking about?
We have seen a strong push recently from union leaders urging voters to reject Proposal A. They are expressing very great fear that what is a well-intentioned effort is going to drive jobs and development dollars out of the city, and developers aren't going to want to deal with what some may call a bureaucratic nightmare. Is there any concern amongst Rise Together Detroit organizers that those people might be right, that in trying to help the city, it could wind up hurting?
I've got a couple of points there. First of all, when we look at the 55 deals that happened, we're told that 100,000 workers are saying this. But we look at the hockey arena, and yet they're fined because they can't find workers. So is there really 100,000 workers that say that? And many times we have the skilled trades people who are saying to us, they're not getting the jobs. They're being laid off in the 70 days or the 90 days. So they're not really meeting the guidelines of employing the skilled trades workers. So that's not the case. So we think that Proposal A is a way to give incentive to development. When you know a community is behind you and you're bringing a development, that's a lot of power in itself. That's a lot of easing of the red tapes. And remember, the big issues of the development will have been settled before community comes to the table. There's a fear tactic that says the fear of loss is greater than the prospect of gain. And that's what we're hearing here, the fear of loss. There's no history that community development agreements in 129 cities have stopped development at all from happening in those cities.
As you referenced, the competing proposal sponsored by Councilman Scott Benson, Proposal B, that kick-in limit is $75 million and or tax breaks of at least $1 million, with neighborhood groups having advisory roles in the negotiations. So in your view, what's wrong with Proposal B?
Advisory boards are just that. They're advisory boards. They have no power at all. They don't even get to go to a meeting unless somebody calls the meeting. We've seen the advisory board system in both the hockey arena and the Whole Foods coming into Detroit. They do not work. And the other part there is, It's selected by the planning department director. In Detroit, I doubt 10 people know the name of the planning department director. And if they don't know his name, chances are he doesn't know their name. And he's the one that actually selects that committee. So there's no people representation there. What it is another group. The mayor could do this right now. He could do everything that's in Proposal B right now. It doesn't need an ordinance. It really is no ordinance at all. These things are available to be done in Detroit right now, anytime.
The Detroit Free Press editorial board recommends saying no to both proposals, saying Detroiters deserve better than either Proposal A or Proposal B. What's your response to that? Did that surprise you?
No, it didn't surprise me. But if we vote no on both, we're no better off than we are right now. We have nothing. And we've had nothing for since 1974, since, in 50-some years. We've lived with this thought of that it's going to trickle down. People say, well, we'll go back and create something better. Council and the mayor had 3 years to work on this bill and make it better, and they haven't done that. So what would be those people's grounds for thinking it's going to get any better?
One of the top organizers of Proposal A before Detroit voters on Election Day, the Reverend Joan Ross, North End Woodward Community Coalition. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Cynthia, for having me.